an absolutely wild, wild weekend from the NCAA tournament. Joining us right now to talk about that and a few other things is the head coach at Florida Atlantic. Fifth season there. He was the Conference USA Coach of the Year this season. The Owls are 33-3. They won the Conference USA regular season and the conference championship title. They're a 9 seed in the East. They're on to the Sweet 16. They knocked off Fairleigh Dickinson, and now they've got the 4 seed in Tennessee in New York City. Dusty May joins me once again. Dusty, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. I appreciate you having me on.
Always good to have you on, Coach. So let me ask you this, Dusty. Still, you have a lot of work to do. You have this amazing opportunity in front of you, but have you taken a moment? The Owls are in the Sweet 16 for the first time ever. How does that feel to you personally?
Jim, I'm almost numb to it, to be honest. You know, we have such a daunting task with the Tennessee Volunteers around the corner. So it's on to the next. Like I've told several people, it's awesome for our friends and family, and you have so many relationships in the business. But for those of us in the eye of the storm, it's business as usual.
I understand that. I'm going to ask you about them in a moment. But looking back on your last win, John L. Davis had a day. He had a day now, right? A historic day. He became the first player, 25 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals in a tourney game since steals became an official stat in 86. Nobody had ever done that. So how much confidence does he give you, and how much better do you feel about everything when he is on the floor?
Well, when the ball is in his hands, Jim, something good usually happens. He gives me a great deal of confidence because he can play in any style of a game. If it's up and down, he's exceptional. If it's half court, if it's isolation based, he can just play. He can score in the post. He can shoot from three. He can drive it, and he's an unbelievable. We call him playground hooper, where he just makes plays.
Talking to Dusty May, you know, obviously totally different guy, totally different player, but I might ask you the same thing, for instance, about Vlad Goldin, but in a different sense. Like, he finished with 8 points, 6 boards, and a block, but how big of an impact did he make in this game?
Well, Fairleigh Dickinson did a nice job of going at our big centers with smaller, quicker guys. So he held his own because he was able to finish around the basket. But Vlad, throughout the course of the season, was probably the most valuable big man in our conference. So I'm sure he'll be happy to see some big physical guys from Tennessee versus a bunch of fast water bugs running around.
Hey, Dusty, about Fairleigh Dickinson, I mean, a quick thought or two on them. Never mind the seed. Never mind who they beat to get there. Man, they're tough, right? That's a hard-nosed team. And I would imagine that was not the easiest team to prepare for.
No, Jeff, for 30 minutes, we felt like they were the more physical, scrappier team, and we're small and quick and aggressive just like them, but we thought they'd beat us at our own game, and unfortunately, our guys, probably because of our depth and experience, and we've been in so many of those moments before, we're able to make a run late and have just enough breathing room to offset some missed free throws and a couple turnovers.
Dusty May, my guest. Dusty, to that point, you've had some experience in these situations. You've been there before. Seems to me, at least on the outside looking in, you've got a pretty hard-nosed group. They sort of take on their coach's personality, but when they fell behind 7, what kind of vibe were your guys throwing off to you? Did they seem at any point? How did they seem at that point?
The same, unflappable, Jim. They just stay focused. I think they just believe that someone is going to step up. They have no idea who, but none of them are scared of the moment. There's no moment too big for them. So I think they just have this internal belief that they look in a circle and they just know that someone's going to step up when the moment calls, and they have all season.
So, Dusty, when you say nobody is afraid at all, did you coach that or do you recruit that or both?
I'm not sure. I don't know if we've evolved into this, or we have been very intentional the last couple of years about not being afraid to fail, not being afraid to lose. Just go do our best, and that'd be enough. And when you defend and rebound, we talk about it. Then when the shots go in, it decides how much we win by. But when we defend and rebound at an elite level, then we're going to find ways to win no matter how well we're shooting the basketball.
We are talking to Dusty May. So, Dusty, when Elijah Martin tried to throw down that monster jam as time ran out, Tobin Anderson did not seem all that pleased by that. Did you have an issue with your guy doing that? And if so, what kind of conversation did you have with him?
Obviously, I've been on the other end of that several times, and it doesn't bother me personally because the game's 40 minutes. You play it out. the 360 left hand probably had a little bit too much sauce on it. But they were pressing. They were on a run. They throw it up ahead. And guys dunk in warm-ups. They dunk in practice. I wish he wouldn't have done it just because I don't want anyone to be offended over things like that. But he's an unbelievable kid who got caught up in the moment. And I'm sure he's wanting to put on a show for our fans. But it probably a little bit of bad taste for some people. But, you know, it's one of those things. If he could do it all over again, I know he would dribble it out. And fortunately, the dunk didn't go in. So it's not as if it affected the final score or whatnot. But absolutely. But also, Jim, all season we've talked about playing every single possession because of the metrics matter so much. Your offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency. So we've even encouraged our walk-ons when they go in late to play as well as they can defensively and get good shots on offense, because we, as a mid-major, it's tough to get an at-large, and we felt like we needed every advantage possible. So, you know, we ended up with 12th in the net, and we feel like because we valued every possession, then that helped us at the end of the day.
I can appreciate that response very much. Hearing it like that, and I was not offended by it myself, but I was not playing against you guys, but I tend to see it your way. It's 40 minutes. You know, if you don't like it, block it, make a play, whatever. It seems to me there are much, much worse things, but I like your analysis that maybe you don't go up for a 360 jam with your left hand. There might be a little too much sauce on that, and you might want to make it, but I can appreciate that very much. So when you look at it, Dusty, you guys were picked fifth to finish in your own league. Never mind the coaches. At what point did the players themselves first begin to believe that this group might be able to do something special? Was there a moment you can point to?
Immediately after last season, Jim, we had probably 2 weeks after the season when we started off-season workouts. There was just a different feel and a different vibe. And Nick Boyd coming back, he's an unbelievable leader who was out all season last year. And even though he only averaged 5 or 6 as a freshman 2 years ago, he provides a different level of confidence and belief that really is kind of taken over our locker room. So I think that group with Boyd and Rosado and Martin and Davis, those guys really took the reins as far as leadership, and they all work at an extremely high level every single day. They're religious about their preparation, their film, their weights, everything that goes into it. And we have to kick them out of the gym because they're in there too much at times. So I think just the fact that they've worked so extensively for so long, and we were pretty darn good last year, we just happen to find ways to lose as opposed to finding ways to win.
We are talking to Dusty May for a few more moments. Speaking of Nick, he had that game-winning layup against Memphis, so that was huge right there. I'm curious, Dusty, so when things are going well, right, you pick to finish fifth, but then you're having success. I'm curious, what did that do to the players' mindset and their work ethic? In other words, it's natural, right? Did they start to feel good about themselves and take their foot off the gas, or did they do just the opposite when they got that taste of success?
I was watching closely, Jim, because I was curious after we beat Florida and after we started winning some games, and we were beating some really good programs by 20 and 30 points, which shocked me at the time. But I was watching closely just to see how they would respond. And when we were in between the lines or we were in the film room, nothing changed one iota. They stayed the course. They continued to work. And we didn't notice any difference in their personality except them wanting more and more and more. Now, off the court, obviously, they're probably they're probably a little more popular on campus and whatnot. So, but we talked about it. Once it was time to work, nothing changed except for the better.
So now you've got Tennessee, the 4 seed, and it's at Madison Square Garden. As I mentioned, an awesome challenge, but an awesome opportunity. As you look at them on film, what stands out to you about the Vols, and how do you think you match up with them?
Well, defensively, they're off the charts. They're physical, and I say that in the most complimentary fashion you can. They're strong, they're tough, they challenge everything. It's hard to make threes against them. It's hard to get threes off against them. And then obviously in the paint, they're so physical with their wall up. So it's going to be a tough task, but we're going to have to spread them out. We're going to have to use our speed, quickness, and athleticism, and obviously we're going to have to make some shots and figure out how to create some space to drive those guys.
Hey, Jesse, I'm curious about the conversation you might have. For instance, to remind the players that they're not only about to play the biggest game of their lives, but that it's going to be played in one of the most historic buildings ever, or do you treat this like it's just another gym?
Well, thank goodness we get to go practice and get a feel for it. And I thought that was advantageous for us, too, watching Purdue play Fairleigh Dickinson. Our guys watched the second half, and some coaches don't want their guys out there. And we encourage our guys to go out and just kind of soak in the moment, get comfortable, in that environment. So I think by them being out there kind of getting immersed in the game, they were able to just get lost when into the game when we played Memphis.
Jesse, really quickly, let me ask you this. I saw an article that Greg Doyle wrote about you recently that I thought was really interesting. He quotes you as saying, "I'm driven by being happy every day," end of quote. I think that's really interesting, and there's a lot more to it than it might seem. Like, question is, if you're driven by being happy every single day, what makes you happy, if that's the thing that drives you?
I love coaching basketball, and I'm very, very simple. If I enjoy the people I work with and go to work with every day, and I do immensely, and I love coaching the guys on the court, meaning they want to get better, they have a strong desire to improve, and they enjoy work, and they enjoy a real relationship-based program, then I'm going to be happy. I'm very, very simple. I've surpassed all expectations. Coaching guys who love to get better and a staff that is in the foxhole, you want in the foxhole with you without any ego, that's all it takes to make me happy.
So then finally, when you were a student manager at IU for Bob Knight, what was that like? I mean, did that make you happy, or did you understand this is a means to an end and this is an incredible opportunity and I'm going to get so much out of this, but I might not be the happiest I've ever been? Or were you?
No, it made me better. Every day with Coach Knight, you're learning something, and you're a volunteer. You're working 40 to 80 hours a week, depending on if it's in season or out of season, and the only thing you want in return is an opportunity to learn and grow. And without that experience, there's no way I would be where I am today.
Well, where you are today is in the Sweet 16, a 9 seed going up against Tennessee, and one of the great, great stories. Hey, Jesse, I know you've been asked this, and I don't want to ask you something that you've been asked 5 times, but it is kind of curious. Like, I don't look at you guys and see you as a Cinderella. You're a top 25 team. I don't see that. But how weird was it for FAU to go up against another school that everybody was pulling for because they were the Cinderella?
I'm glad you asked that. It was really strange because we've embraced being the underdog and the disrespected all season. And for all the Michigan State and Marquette fans to flip, and FDU had a sold-out arena in Columbus, it was odd. But our guys, once again, they were unfazed. The place erupted when FDU went on their run, and they were playing great basketball. But our guys were, you know, they knew we had another run in this. And like I said, they don't know who's going to step up, but they know someone's going to.
It's got to be reassuring knowing it's going to be somebody. Somebody will pick somebody else up. He is the head coach at Florida Atlantic, 5th year there. I mentioned all the numbers, great regular season. On to the Sweet 16. Dusty, really appreciate you making time. I know as you get further into the tournament, there's more and more pressure, less and less time, and I really appreciate you making time for this one.
Well, Jim, I appreciate you having me on. This is awesome.
Always good talking to you, Coach. Thank you very much. Dusty May, a hell of a coach. Such a good coach. I'm not going to do that thing where I say, you know, the phone's going to ring. Of course the phone's going to ring. But you never know. You never know. I think that he's in a really good spot where he is beloved, extremely well-respected, clearly can win where he is. It used to be back in the day that everybody was so upwardly mobile, and they were always looking for the next thing, the next gig, the bigger conference, the bigger paycheck, you know, the better chance to win. Look at who's won in the tournament so far. Look at the top seeds that have gone down. Look at the success of some of the 16s, 15s, and 14s. Parity reigns supreme. You can win where you are.